you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Well, so much for my theory about Jamie Lannister, huh? What was it, about a second and a half into the opening scene? He came flying to the surface of the water, gasping for air, Bronn right behind him. Oh, I guess those of you who are not fans of the TV series Game of Thrones are most likely terribly confused right now. Jaime Lannister is one of the primary characters on Game of Thrones, and the previous episode left some doubt. It's what scriptwriters like to call a cliffhanger, but some purposeful doubt in the viewer's mind as to whether Jaime Lannister had died at the end of the show. And I don't know whether you noticed it or not, but it was one of the hottest topics on social media all week long. So during last week's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, I suggested that maybe Jaime Lannister was not dead, but that he would not appear in the remaining three episodes of this year's Game of Thrones, because the producers of this show kill off primary characters on a routine basis, and they would want us to think Jaime Lannister was dead, when in fact he would somehow magically appear next season with some feeble explanation that Bronn, you know, his mercenary, had fished him out of the drink at the last second. But boy, they blew that theory up in short order, didn't they? Jaime and Bronn surfaced immediately after the opening credits to start last week's episode of Game of Thrones. But I was right about one thing. Bronn was the one who saved him, so there's that. It's a riveting show, and I know not all of you watch it, much less say share my passion for it, but in my humble opinion, Game of Thrones is the best show on television right now. Well, maybe one of the two best shows. The other one is called The Americans on FX. If you're old enough to remember the Cold War, you'd probably really enjoy The Americans. But in the final analysis, this is not TV, it's radio, so enough about all that. Welcome back to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, the show that asks the question, why do we put round pizza in square boxes and cut it into triangles? And the answer is obvious, because it tastes good. But that's not what the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is all about today. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, I wanted to tell you a story our executive producer Greg Berlocker found this week. I think you're going to like this. This is one of those stories that when you first see it, you think, I wonder if this is one of those internet hoaxes. But the website is perfectly reputable. It's called SF Gate. It's an online extension of the San Francisco Chronicle, which is a perfectly legitimate newspaper. It at least used to be owned by the Hearst Syndicate. I don't know whether it still is or not. And I'll admit, I rarely agree with the politics on their op-ed page, but no matter where you stand politically, the San Francisco Chronicle is not the National Enquirer. It's serious journalism, so I believe this story is true, no matter how ridiculous it may sound. And yes, it does have something to do with food. There's this group called the Antarctic Heritage Trust. They're based in New Zealand. Their website says they conserve, share, and encourage the spirit of exploration. What they actually do is they take care of the expedition bases of early Antarctic explorers, like Sir Edmund Hillary. You remember him. He was the guy who climbed Mount Everest first. And they save all the artifacts they find at these expedition bases. What does that have to do with the price of tortillas in Tijuana, you ask? Well, give me a minute and I'll explain it to you, okay? The people who work for this trust were searching through the artifacts that they uncovered in Antarctica's oldest building. It's a hut on Cape Adare. It was established by some Norwegian explorer whose last name looks like somebody dropped a Wheel of Fortune puzzle on the floor and the letters got all scrambled up, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. Oh, heck, why not? It was Karsten Borchgrevink. That was a shot in the dark that even Peter Sellers would admire. But anyway, in the middle of all these hundreds of useless and rusted items, they found a beat-up, dusty old food tin. It had the logo of a British biscuit company on the side, Huntley and Palmer's. Never heard of it. But inside the food tin, still neatly wrapped in the original wax paper, mind you, they found a 107-year-old fruitcake. You know, like your Aunt Bertha used to make every Christmas? That 12-pound brick of mystery bread with little tiny chunks of brightly colored but highly questionable candies mixed in? That dubious dessert that you'd smother in Cool Whip and then chew for 3 to 4 minutes per bite? That mass of matter that you could use as a doorstop for the rest of the winter? That thing that just seemingly never spoiled? Well, apparently, they really never spoil, because the folks at the Antarctic Heritage Trust swear that this 107-year-old fruitcake appears to still be edible. Not that you're going to talk me into taste-testing the dadgum thing. I won't even eat freshly baked fruitcake, much less say one that's older than Betty White. And here's the real head-scratcher in this story. The Antarctic Heritage Trust says they will stabilize all the items they find, and then they will return those items to the site in Antarctica. Now, I have to ask, why? Why would these items be returned to Antarctica? Do they really think they're going to somehow encourage tourism to Antarctica? I mean, most people want warm bodies and frozen drinks on vacation, not the other way around. I can't imagine spending thousands of dollars on a vacation to a place where you can literally freeze your face off, even for a slice of 107-year-old fruitcake. No, especially for a slice of 107-year-old fruitcake. I like to escape the Houston heat in August just as much as the next guy. But I want to build a snowman, not become a snowman. That whole story is just nuttier than, well, you get the idea. But on to more reasonable matters, okay? Do you remember Cecilia Nosti? She was from the Texas Parks and Wildlife, and she's also the coordinator for the partnership between Texas Parks and Wildlife and the Central Market Cooking Schools. She told us all about it in last week's show. And she was nice enough to donate a couple of tickets for the September 12th cooking class, which will be right here in Houston. So let's give them away right now to you. We'll give them to the first listener who sends us a private message on our Facebook page, which is simply The Outdoor Cooking Show. But in order to qualify, you must include the words Central Market in your message, okay? First message wins. And speaking of private messages on our Facebook page, here's one now. I enjoyed your show on wild game, and I'd love to try cooking up some, but I'm not a hunter. So where can I go to just buy some wild game? You know, that's a great question. We've got the answer for you. In our first segment on today's show, our crack team of investigators searched high and low, long days, lonely nights, slaving away until we finally discovered that Google is your friend and there are lots of places that sell wild game. What we did do was find out the best place to buy wild game. And we'll talk to the owner of that establishment in the first segment of today's show. In our other two segments of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show today, we will pay tribute to today, because today is National Hot and Spicy Food Day. Now, I am a proud and certified chili belly, which means I love hot and spicy food, and I come by it honestly. My father was a backyard chef. And his motto was always, if a little bit makes it good, then a whole lot'll make it great. Boy, that drove my mother absolutely crazy, because she was decidedly not a chili belly, and she frequently thought that my dad's entrees were hotter than a pepper sprout, as Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood once sang. Sorry, you can take the disc jockey out of the radio, but you just can't take the radio out of the disc jockey. So today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is in honor of National Hot and Spicy Food Day. The kind of day the mother of dragons would love. Dracarys. Now that's what I call hot and spicy.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious, true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We are pleased to host now Michael Cruz. Michael followed in his father's footsteps. He now owns and operates the iconic Houston meat market, Pete's Fine Meats on Richmond. Hi, Michael.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Do you prefer Mike?
Michael, whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You call me Pete. a lot of people come in the store, they call me Pete, but that's fine. I'll answer to anything.
Well, Mike, let's start off by having you tell us the story of how your father established Pete's Fine Meats back in 1961.
Well, he used to be in Folsher, out there at Walker and Meyer and Dozier's, and he started to develop a huge following. I mean, people were actually, I got people now that were kids, which were my age, and their mother and father traded with my dad. Now they're trading with me, the kids, and they tell me a story. He goes, man, I remember when I used to drive out Westheimer with my mom and dad, and it was on Sunday or Saturday, and we'd go out there and make a day out of it and eat barbecue out there, and then everybody's waiting on your dad, Pete. There were a line of people just waiting on him, even though there was a lot of meat cutters. But my dad developed that relationship with the people. So they would just wait inside. It was an old-timey store with wooden floors. I mean, it was really neat looking. And they had a barbecue on one side of the store and then the meat market on the other. It was all hanging beef back then. It wasn't these packaged stuff that you see in the grocery stores and everywhere. We just cut open a ribeye or a strip. I mean, it was actually hanging beef. And they were real patient. I mean, it was really good about it because they would sit there and talk to each other and stuff like that. And then Mr. Meyer, who owned Walker and Meyer, told my dad, hey, let's open a store in Houston. My dad said, okay. So he came over here and for about 2 or 3 years, and it was just fantastic. I mean, everybody followed my dad. They were so happy that they didn't have to drive out there, even though they had fun, but they could just come here on Richmond. So everybody followed my dad, and I mean, business just literally dropped out there. So my dad said, well, why don't we open some more stores? Because I mean, it'll be great. My dad wanted to expand it, you know, bigger and bigger. And Mr. Meyer said, no, let's just stay the way we are and just stay the course. And so he kind of got frustrated. So he left. He went to Herschel Martin on Memorial. It's called Memorial Butcher Shop. So business went down here on Richmond, and they followed him over there to Herschel Martin. Herschel was tickled to death, you know, that his business just grew. So Mr. Meyer called my dad one day after about maybe 3 or 4 months. He said, hey, Pete, that store's hurting on Richmond. He goes, I'm gonna either shut it down or I'm gonna make you an offer. You want to take it over? So my dad made a deal with him and took it over, and that's the way he started.
Where did the phrase, it's show good, originate?
That's the way he used to talk. He just said, it's show good. You know, he did tell little kids like that. He cut a piece of cheese from the big old, it's that big old wheel of cheese we have.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad would cut up in chunks and put a wooden skewer on it, and he'd give it to the kids, and he called it a cheese lollipop, and he'd tell them, he said, here, baby, here's a cheese lollipop. It's so good. You know, that's the way it started. And then, so when we made the seasoning, he put that logo on it. It says, so good.
Well, Pete's Fine Meats is more than just a butcher shop, and you mentioned the seasonings.
Uh-huh.
You got spices and marinades and farm fresh eggs and homemade salsa and sausage.
Yeah.
But this is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. So tell us about the charcoals and the woods you offer to backyard chefs.
Yeah, I carry the B&B brand, which is probably the best on the market. I carry their logwoods for smokers. I carry everything, pecan, oak, mesquite, hickory. And then I carry the B&B charcoals, competition charcoal, which is a blend of a bunch of different woods. And they're like little wooden logs that they make. And then I carry all their charcoals. I got mesquite, hickory, and oak. And then I carry a lot of wood chips and wood chunks, you know, and little blocks that people put in their gas grills to kind of get that smoke flavor.
And Pete's Fine Meats is a very popular lunch destination for workers in the Galleria and the Greenway Plaza districts. What do you guys offer for lunch?
Well, we have Buffalo Burgers, which is one of our most popular thing. But the most popular thing we have here is our Philadelphia Cheesesteak Hoagies. We get a whole ribeye in the morning and shave it, cook it on the grill with onions, and season it up with our seasonings and everything. And then we make steak hoagies out of it all day long. But people from Philadelphia come in here, and they tell me all the time, he goes, man, that is the best Philly steak I've tasted, other than back home, you know, it's that good. He goes, it beats these fast food ones that you see. But I know what they do. They buy the meat pre-portioned out already, 4 or 5 ounces, and all these, it's frozen. All these slap it on the grill and mix a little onions in it and put it on a hoagie, which we don't. We get a whole ribeye and we shave it, and we sell a heck out of that. Those Philadelphia cheesesteak hoagies are really, really good. Really good. And then, you know, we make the buffalo burger. People who try to eat lean and clean. And then we make the regular beef hamburgers. And people say we make some of the best hamburgers in town. Well, we grind our meat here. You know, I don't buy meat already prepackaged, you know, like hamburger patties already pre-made. I got a patty machine. I can make my own patties. One of the most popular things that we have here is, you know, my mom's cookies, too. Yeah. I mean, that's really taken off since we started making them. And it's the chocolate chip, macadamia, and coconut. They're great. They're really good.
One of the main reasons why we wanted to have Michael on the show today was because last week's show was all about cooking wild game. And one of our listeners noted he's not a hunter, so he asked where he could purchase wild game. Mm-hmm. And Pete's Fine Meats has lots of wild game. So talk about your selection, Michael.
Yeah, we have quite a good selection of wild game. I carry all the backstraps. I carry Axis backstrap, which is probably the best deer that you want to eat. I mean, it's the Cadillac of the deer. That and elk. I carry both of them, elk backstraps. I carry moose backstraps. I carry the burger, if you want to eat that, make hamburgers or whatever. We carry ostrich fillets, and those are probably like about four or five ounces a piece. They look like a filet mignon. And the most popular thing in the wild game we have here is the kangaroo, believe it or not. Kangaroo is the most popular thing we sell here, and it's called a kangaroo fillet, but it looks like a big top sirloin once it's thawed out. And one thing about those, they're so lean, there's no fat on them. You don't ever overcook that because it would get like jerky or tough.
Mm-hmm.
You want to cook it like medium rare, and they're good. They're really good. There's no aftertaste. There's no wild game taste. It's just really, really good. I've got customers that have traveled to like Australia, and they say it's normal to see kangaroo on the menu. Because he said they grow them like we do cattle here.
Right.
And I didn't know that.
Well, you have a full-service kitchen right there on site at Pete's Fine Meats. Do you ever cook any of these exotics for your customers?
Yeah, I cook it for them. My deal here at the store is if whatever you buy from me, I don't charge you to cook it as long as you buy it from me, whether it's steaks or a whole beef tender or prime rib or anything. Like the holiday season's coming up, and, man, I cook a lot of beef tenderloins, prime ribs for people, you know, who they're worried about their other side stuff, so they want me to cook their prime rib or tenderloin. And I got a lot of caterers that actually, people don't know that caterers, they call me, hey, Mike, I need two tenderloins cooked. And they'll swing by here on the way to the party, pick it up, or I'll cook a big steamship round that you see those carving stations at hotels and stuff like that. We cook all that. Even if people call me, they want some, you know, kangaroo cooked or ostrich fillets, we'll cook it and leave them medium rare or rare. And then when they get home, they just put them in the oven real, real slow and just serve them at dinner time. But, yeah, I got a lot of people call me on the way home, hey, throw me a chicken on the rotisserie or smoker, and I'll have it ready when they come through for dinner.
The Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show talks about all kinds of cooking, but wild game cooking is different. For instance, I ate bear meat at a wild game cook-off many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It was so tough it might as well have been jerky.
Yeah.
How do you prepare something like bear meat or other exotics to make them more tender and palatable?
Well, I mean, it's going to be tough, especially bear meat. I mean, I got some bear meat. They sold me an arm where I buy my meat from. Well, I don't care where you cut it. It was naturally oily.
Uh-huh.
It's just an oily meat. Like what you said, it's going to be tough. I mean, I think it's just a novelty people want to try. Hey, I eat bear, you know. I don't really know. You have to talk to that as a chef how they would make it, you know, tender. But I had that in a lion loin. And, I mean, it was very popular. But the government has stepped in, and they stopped me selling it, or anybody who would sell it, because they're finding out how they're slaughtering them, which it wasn't illegal, but it became illegal when they found out that they were killed under inspection, you know, the way the United States wants it. So I don't know what's going to happen with the bear or the lion right now. They got to meet U.S. standards. People can't just shoot a deer either and bring it here. I've had people say, hey, I got some deer meat. You want to buy it? I can't do that. Or wild pigs and stuff like that. You know, they think I'm going to buy it, but I can't do that.
We've been talking to Michael Cruz. He's the owner of Pete's Fine Meats, Houston's most famous butcher shop and meat market since 1961. They are centrally located at 5509 Richmond Avenue in the Galleria area. They're open 9 to 4 on Monday, 9 to 6 on Tuesday through Saturday. What's your website, Michael?
It's orders@petesfinemeats.net.
We appreciate your insights into wild game cooking. Let's stay in touch, okay?
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious, true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Since it's National Hot and Spicy Food Day, we're going to talk about food that bites back with Ryan Pera of Cultivare. Hi, Ryan. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. We want you to introduce yourself to our audience first. So give us a quick rundown on where you were born, where you schooled, how you got in the restaurant business.
Sure. I started washing dishes in my college town of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, when I was a student there. And then ended up finding my way to Houston, Texas. And that's where I am now, and own three restaurants and have three more on the horizon for the next year.
But just for the sake of perspective, you worked at the Four Seasons Hotel,
yes,
the 17 restaurant and the Sam Houston Hotel, and the Grove, all here in Houston, right?
That's correct. In Houston, I opened the Grove as the executive chef, but now it's, you know, something I've always strove for is to have my own business. Chefs tend to not like to listen to others. We're pretty stubborn, and that's why I think we make good owners. So as an owner, I only have myself to blame, and I don't have to listen to what others have to say.
Well, as Ryan said, he does own several restaurants, but Cultivare is the restaurant we're going to focus on during this visit. So tell us about the food fair we'll find when we visit Cultivare.
Sure. So Cultivare is my pride and joy. It's where I work most nights. You know, we're not really doing the typical red sauce Italian, and we have a lot of fun with it. We have some signature dishes like our black pepper spaghetti, and then we have great specials each night. And we're talking about the grill here. We have a kind of a unique piece of equipment that is a charcoal burning oven / grill. It has a door that closes it completely, and it runs entirely on charcoal. So we do as many items. I really love that piece of equipment. It makes things taste amazing with the minimal effort.
That's fascinating, and that plays right into what we do here at the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, learning new techniques our listeners can try out at home. So give us some of the basic ways you prepare some of the dishes you offer at Cultivare, and let's start with something simple like chicken. How do you cook the wood-grilled chicken?
It's been on the menu since day one, so we are what we eat, but we are what we eat eats. And if your chicken is not eating a good diet, it's not going to taste good. And so we source the best chickens locally that we can, or we get them from a local farm and they're pasture raised. With that being said, we salt and pepper it only at that point. We have our charcoal burning oven nice and hot. So we lay it down skin side up first, and the point being that the skin is going to start rendering before it goes skin side down to get it crispy, which I think is an important technique. If you go immediately skin side down, it's going to be too wet, it's going to stick, it's going to give you all kinds of problems on the grill. So we let it go a few minutes, the skin starts getting a layer that will not adhere to the grill at that point. We then flip it, and then we start to baste it after its first flip. We do get chilies, we take a little honey, we take a little vinegar, and then we blend them together. So we have like a Italian-style sweet and sour and spicy. And then we baste it on that meat side. We cook it a little bit more. By then, the skin has gotten nice and crisp as it's cooking. We flip it one more time, baste it on the skin side, again, close our oven, let that sweet and sour sauce kind of penetrate in there on the skin. The skin caramelizes a little bit more, gets a little bit more crisp. And then once it's cooked through, we baste it one more time. We let it rest for just a minute or two on the side, and then we carve it up. After we carve it up, we have pickled some grapes. So we use a pickling solution of some champagne vinegar and a little sugar. So we drop a few grapes, and we have some toasted pine nuts we also drop on there, which gives it a nice, nutty, creamy taste, which we really like. Then we drizzle it, the whole dish, with some extra virgin olive oil, and we also have some arugula on the bottom of the plate there that helps capture some of those good chicken juices as it goes out. And then if you eat it all together, it helps bring it home.
Judging the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show strictly by its name and its brand sponsor, it's obvious that we love fish. So tell us how you prepare your whole wood roast fish.
Yes. So typically we'll have various snappers. So I think tonight we have our vermilion snapper. We make a little Italian-style salsa verde with lots of good herbs and garlic like basil, tarragon, chervil, and parsley all blended up, a little red chili flakes in there so it has a little heat. And then olive oil to make it a nice smooth paste. And then we totally rub the fish in the paste. And when we put it in the grill, we like to stand it up. So we make a little basically seat with some tin foil that we press into the cavity of the fish so it can actually stand upright like it's swimming while it's cooking. And that gives it a nice way to cook it evenly on all sides, so it's not on one side or the other. And it means we don't have to flip it midway through, which with fish is always a danger because you want that skin to be nice and crispy. So it goes into our oven. We just kind of monitor it to cook all the way through, but that marinade is the primary source of flavor besides the fish and the salt and the pepper. Meanwhile, while it's cooking, we prepare our garlic paste. So we take whole garlic cloves, we put them in cold water, and then we bring it up to a simmer, and then we strain it, and then we do that 6 more times.
Wow.
The whole point of the process is just to have the most mellow, lovely garlic flavor that we can. We don't want any of the astringency. We don't want any of the bite. And it totally mellows out the garlic, and it makes it very soft so we can puree it easily into that nice sauce. So it's just this pure, simple garlic and really nothing else in the sauce. But at the same time, it doesn't have any of that bite to it, which we like with the fish. So we have that garlic puree that we've poached, and then we lay that on the plate. We now have a finished cooked fish, a whole fish. So we very delicately, and this is where it takes a little practice to take it off of our little tinfoil stand and move it onto the plate on top of the garlic. And then meantime, we've also been sauteing some local greens. We do grow those in our garden. We have a wonderful garden at Cultivare. It's 3,000 square feet. We grow lots of our own herbs and vegetables. And greens in Houston, Texas do very, very well. So we grow lots of those, whether it be mustard greens, kale, different varieties of kale, Swiss chard, things of that nature. And we'll mix and match depending on what we're harvesting at the moment in Houston. So we'll sweat our greens. Right now we're doing some lacinata kale that are growing well in the summertime. We have a little anchovies that we have sauteed with the greens and some red chili flakes to make them spicy. And then we put those accompanied with the fish. And then depending on the season, right now we have cucumber. We make a little salad that goes on top of the fish. So we'll take the cucumber, we'll take fresh lemon juice, some parsley, and we'll mix that up, and then we'll lay that right on top of the fish with some extra virgin olive oil, and that is the dish.
And another popular hot and spicy Texas dish is buffalo wings, or just chicken wings, if we're being honest. And you have chicken wings on your menu, so tell us how you make them.
We do, yeah. We love them. And, you know, when we debone our half chicken, we have the wings left over because we wanted to make a separate dish. So we have a steady supply of the chicken wings from the good sales of the chicken that we just talked about. So we take those wings, we dredge them in cornstarch. We like the way the cornstarch fries up, nice and crispy. And then we drop them in our fryer until they're nice and crispy. And we have some salt and pepper in our dredge in there as well, so they have the seasoning. But then as soon as they come out, we made a chili paste. And this is kind of a blend of the Gulf Coast region and Italian cooking. We've taken a variety of chilies, some ancho chilies, guajillo chilies, and some cascabel chilies. And we have cooked them with a little garlic and shallot. And we poach them in water until they're soft. And then we make a nice smooth paste. So we take that paste. And then when they're ordered, we also have pickled some jalapenos. And we have some pickling liquid that we mix with the chili paste to give it a little sweet and sour. And then from our garden, we grow some lemon verbena bushes, which is it's a big bush. It is a European style bush, and it has a wonderful lemon flavor, but it is an herb form. So we saute that with the chili paste and then drop some fresh lemon juice in there as well. And then we drop some fresh basil leaves in as well. So we take that mixture of the chili paste and the herbs and the lemon verbena. We mix those hot wings in that have just come out of the fryer in there, and then we saute it a little bit more to make sure that all the flavors marry and that the herbs are expressed, and we throw some fresh jalapenos in there too to make them spicy. And then they go out. We serve a little lemon wedge with there so the customers can squeeze the lemon on as they're eating them. And then, of course, it is a fairly messy affair, and we make sure there's lots of towels on the table.
Chef Ryan Pera, the executive chef at Cultivare in the Heights. We didn't even get to the spicy shredded pork pizza, so we hope you'll come back real soon and talk about that. Okay, Ryan?
Be happy to. So happy to be one of your guests. Thank you so much.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Smoking a tender, juicy, delicious brisket is not rocket science, but it's not as simple as just throwing the meat on the grill either. That's why Brisket U is an essential learning tool for the backyard smoker. Brisket U is a fun, informative class on how to smoke a true Texas brisket in a laid-back, unintimidating environment taught by experienced barbecue pitmasters. In 1 3-hour class, Brisket U will teach you how to properly start a fire, control the pit temperature, and choose the right wood. Plus, you'll learn about smoke profiles, trimming and rubs, the smoking process and timing, and of course, how to slice and serve a perfect brisket. Brisket U holds classes at numerous convenient craft breweries around Houston and only costs $69 when you register online at brisketu.com. There are lots of classes, but size is limited, so go to brisketu.com and sign up today. That consistently tender, juicy, delicious, true Texas brisket is now within reach at brisketu.com. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd's Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
I've been looking forward to this interview. This is Sylvia Casares of Sylvia's Enchilada Kitchen. Welcome, Sylvia.
Hi, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to it also.
Let's begin with a little biographical overview. Where were you born, you reared, and go to school, all that kind of stuff?
Okay, well, I was born in Brownsville, Texas. Went on to the University of Texas, graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Home Economics, and I was made aware of a job in Houston, drove to Houston in my little 1967 unair-conditioned Volkswagen, interviewed all day, and got the job. Uncle Ben's is owned by the Mars Candy Company. They were hiring a research home economist, and the reason that I was qualified for the job was because My degree was in home economics, but it was a Bachelor of Science, which meant I had to take 18 hours of just pure science. And the reason for that is for the nutrition. So after 3 years of the test kitchens, I ended up in their food labs as a food scientist and did that for 7 years.
So there is a science of food. We didn't know food was a science. Explain that to us.
Well, I mean, it's a chemical reaction. It begins when you begin to blend everything together. When you add moisture, the reactions begin, and then flavors come together. Everything, the spices, all of the ingredients begin to blend together. Chemical reactions take place, and then you have a recipe or a, as we would call it in the labs, you have a prototype. Say we were going to make a rice pilaf,
mm-hmm.
you know, which would be the dry mix seasonings and then combined with some type of rice. So we would work first, develop a fresh version of it, a home recipe prepared with fresh ingredients, and then duplicate that with all spices.
After Uncle Ben's, Sylvia worked in food sales for a while, but it was in 1998 that she realized owning a restaurant was what she really wanted to do. So tell us that story.
Well, I did sales and marketing in food service, and I became extremely interested in restaurants at that time. I got to know hundreds of restaurant owners, chefs, and I began to kind of cook up in my mind that I thought I could do this because I could take everything I knew from zero to then, which means growing up on the border and learning about the basic flavors of this food to, you know, recipe development, flavors. Also during the time at Uncle Ben's, I also developed a really keen, or maybe I already had it, I don't know, palate, because a lot of it was flavor analysis. And so that was the realization I had to get out of working for a large company. I was tired of the travel, and so I made my leap of faith into the restaurant ownership.
And that was Sylvia's Enchilada Kitchen. But in November of 2001, you moved to a new location on Westheimer, just west of Derry Ashford.
Right.
And now you've opened two additional locations. Where are they?
Well, in 2009, Woodway and Voss Road across Second Baptist. And then my third one, Eldridge and Enclave, which is just a little bit south of Memorial. That one was very close to the original store, so just recently, a couple of months ago, I went ahead and consolidated, and so the original store, my top people, everything moved to, and most of my customers are now at Eldridge. So I'm actually down to two stores.
And any restaurant with the name Sylvia's Enchilada Kitchen most certainly features a lot of different kinds of enchiladas. How many varieties do you offer, Sylvia?
Well, there are 19 on the menu.
Can you name them all?
Yes, I think I can. See, it's Refugio, Donna, McAllen, Quineña, Quineña, El Paso, Lubbock, Laguna Madre, Sarita, Crystal City, and Seguin. So these are all Texas towns because these are all north of the border. Then we skip over to the south side of the border, enchiladas, because there are basically two types in my restaurant. So we've got Mexico City, that's the iconic Mexican enchilada. Then I have Morelia, I have Puebla, I have San Miguel, Hidalgo, Chihuahua, Monterrey. I believe that's it.
Two more.
Did I miss one? Two more? Oh, no. What did I miss?
Oh, we were just testing you. You don't need to list them all.
Oh, my gosh. I was hoping you weren't keeping track. I was hoping you weren't making little sticks. Morelia, Hidalgo, Verdes. Oh, San Miguel. Did I mention San Miguel? That's a real popular one. Yeah. So all of those are really basically south of the border. Those are typical enchiladas from Mexico.
In any case, Sylvia maintains that too many people out there settle for less than good enchiladas.
Absolutely.
So tell us what less than good enchiladas are anyway.
Well, a sauce that basically is kind of flat in flavor, like monotone, right? Like when someone talks in a monotone voice. There are monotone recipes out there or flavor profiles. You know, they look the same, but when you put them in your mouth, I always want to try to experience some kind of flavor explosion. And, you know, a lot of these recipes, I mean, they're just flat as they can be. There's just no flavor.
Well, this is National Hot and Spicy Food Day, and that's why we were talking to you about the food science behind spices. Now, you feature all these different enchilada fillings and sauces at Sylvia's Enchilada Kitchen. So give us some of the secrets to some of those concoctions.
I would say, first of all, I begin with raw ingredients, which is typically known as fresh. So I'm talking raw ingredients, so as they came out from the earth. I don't rely on powders and all of that, because as food goes, every time you do something to food, you lose ground in terms of flavor or originality. So that is certainly something that I learned. Remember the part about doing a prototype and then trying to duplicate it in, you know, powders and flavors? I mean, it's just never going to be the same, because you lose a lot of ground. Anytime you gain something, you will have a compensating loss to the flavor. So usually you're not going to land where you previously were. And I would say 99% of the time you're going to lose something. Sometimes it's a lot, and sometimes it's a little.
So do you think that's the biggest mistake that backyard chefs make with regard to spicing their food?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Start with raw ingredients. Go to the freshest and the most raw state. And that's what I call complete control of your recipe. You know, you're not relying on some manufacturer that did it right along the way. You know, you're doing it yourself.
And what are some tips and tricks that you've learned about making spicy food over the years?
Well, adding heat is really easy. That's easy. I think adding too much heat to a recipe will set your taste buds on fire, and then you don't really know what you're tasting because your mouth is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I always talk about it in my cooking classes as balance. And many times what that is you just have to take the time to test your recipes and work on them. I usually would do like maybe one version, sometimes two, prepare them, measure very accurately, and then compare them, taste them, and then make notes, and then keep adjusting and adjusting and adjusting to finally get to where you're going. But it's usually not going to be a quick. I mean, if you're real concerned with time and if a lot of efficiency and all that, you may have a little bit of a hard time getting what I call the optimum flavor. I needed to add one more detail, is the amount of salt in a recipe is critical, because the role of salt in any recipe is to enhance flavor. So let me give you a quick example. If every ingredient is in perfect proportion, but your salt is, of course, if it's high, it's salty. We don't want to go there. But typically, a lot of times, salt is low. If you watch cooking shows, they'll just grab a bunch and throw it in there. That's not how it should be done in my mind. You should know the precise optimum amount of salt and add it, because that will bring all your spices and flavors together. That's a critical step in your preparation.
The Houston Chronicle recently named Sylvia's Enchilada Kitchen as one of the top 100 restaurants in the city. Texas Monthly named Sylvia's as one of the top 50 in the state. Plus, several national publications have featured profiles and reviews of Sylvia's. So if you haven't tried it yet, you don't know what you're missing. It's Sylvia's Enchilada Kitchen. Give us those two locations again, Sylvia.
Woodway and Boss, Eldridge and Enclave.
And what's your website so people can sign up for your cooking classes?
Sylvia'sEnchiladas.com.
Thanks for the advice on National Hot and Spicy Food Day, Sylvia. And save us some queso, okay?
I will. Thank you for calling.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.